Welcome to the CryptoZoo. I'm your CryptoZoo keeper, Jay, and today we will be talking about the Jersey Devil.
You heard about cryptids, but what do you know? Hear a little more on this here show. What are cryptids and what do they do? Learn about cryptids at the CryptoZoo.
The New Jersey Pine Barrens is a sprawling section of South New Jersey consisting of over 1 million acres that, despite being in close proximity to metropolises like New York City, Philadelphia, and Atlantic City, remains mostly undisturbed by human progress. Or maybe not. Initially occupied by the Lenape people 10,000 years ago, the Pine Barrens were settled by the Swedish and the Dutch in the 17th century, before the English eventually took over the area. Industries like mining, lumber milling, shipbuilding, iron ore processing, glassmaking, and charcoal making all had their heydays before people abandoned the area for the more urban areas nearby. The region's isolation made it the perfect place for moonshining operations during Prohibition, and it's also rumored to have been a popular dumping ground for victims of mob hits. Remember that episode of The Sopranos where Paulie and Christopher got lost in the woods while trying to kill that badass Russian guy? That was in the New Jersey Pine Barrens. Nowadays, as a protected national park, the Pine Barrens is mostly made up of forests and wetlands with the occasional ghost town speckled throughout. The modern Pine Barrens boasts a surprising diversity of both plant and animal life, including an impressive array of carnivorous plants that sprout from its acidic soil. One of the slogans of the Pine Barrens is, "A place so dangerous, even the plants will eat you." And the New Jersey Pine Barrens is also the home of one of the most cited cryptids on record, the Jersey Devil. The Jersey Devil is usually described as being anywhere from 3 to 11 feet tall. Although it's sometimes said to be reptilian, its body is more often reported to be mammalian and covered in hair or fur. The body is mostly that of a kangaroo, with the head resembling a cross between a horse and a dog. It has horns and bat-like wings, with claws on its tiny front legs and cloven hoofs on its back. And it's got a long tail. So, the Jersey Devil is not just a clever name. The beast is said to look like a devil. It supposedly sounds like a devil, too, with a loud cry that reportedly sounds like a squawk, a screech, or even a whistle. To add to its fearsomeness, the Jersey Devil is said to smell really bad, glow in the dark, and shoot fire from its mouth. Oh, and it kills animals, both pets and livestock. The roots of the Jersey Devil can be found in an old Native American legend. The Lenape spoke of a spirit called Messing, which means living solid face, masked being, or keeper of the game, who looked after and protected the forests. Messing was covered in long, dark hair with a face that was half red and half black, and would be spotted riding through the woods on a huge deer. The indigenous people had respect for Messing and treated him with reverence, but when white men came to the area, they feared the spirit, mainly because they intended to exploit the lands that the entity was sworn to defend. And because the idols and masks that were made in honor of Messing were horrifying to the pious Puritan settlers. While this may be the most prehistoric version of the Jersey Devil, the modern version's roots are more demonic in nature and can be traced back to colonial folklore of the 1700s, specifically the year 1735. In the early 18th century, a woman named Deborah Smith married a man named Daniel Leeds. They had 12 normal children, and the Jersey Devil is said to be the 13th offspring of the couple, conceived in 1735. Strained both emotionally and financially by the burden, Mother Leeds cursed the unborn child, saying, "Let this one be a devil!" When it was born later that year, Mother Leeds' labor was strenuous, and what came out was a hideous monster. It flew around the room, took a few swipes at everyone in the house, and then escaped up the chimney into the barrens. Mother Leeds did not mourn the sudden loss of this child. So that's the official story. Some versions have the names and exact locations different, but all essentially end with what was then dubbed the Leeds Devil escaping into the woods to terrify and torment the good people of South New Jersey. There's some basis of fact for this old legend. There actually was a prominent Puritan woman named Anne Hutchinson who, after being kicked out of the Massachusetts Bay Colony in 1637, gave birth to a badly deformed child, which is thought by modern science to have been a molar pregnancy, which occurs when a non-viable egg is fertilized and implants in the woman's womb. Another woman named Mary Dyer also gave birth to a deformed child, and thus was summarily accused of heresy and wound up being executed after converting to Quakerism. Whichever of these two women, or most likely a bit of both of them, influenced the story of Mother Leeds and her 13th child, Mother Leeds was an outsider who was feared by her community. And then there was Daniel Leeds himself. Daniel Leeds was a Quaker who published controversial almanacs and literature that included aspects of astrology, theology, mysticism, and other things that didn't fit in with his Quaker religion. He was outcast and considered a pagan by the church, and so he and his family were considered cursed in that regard. So that also had something to do with the reputation of his rumored last child. Upon his death, his will was said to have only included his first 12 children, again casting shame and disownment upon this mysterious 13th offspring. Now, all of this is bullpucky, since the real Daniel Leeds passed away in 1720, and the legend has his 13th child being born 15 years after that. And history shows that he only had 11 children, not 12 or 13. But between falling out with the church and being a British loyalist while the colonies were preparing for a revolution, he was ripe for some name slander. And local gossipers never let the facts get in the way of a good story. Sightings of the devil in the 18th century were mostly sporadic and anecdotal, seemingly tall tales used to reinforce the legend of the Leeds Devil. Originally, it was said that the devil would make its appearance every 7 years, and that appearance would often foreshadow bad fortune or war. In the 19th century, sightings were more detailed and documented, even if the stories were not any more truthful. In 1804, American naval hero Commodore Stephen Decatur was inspecting cannonballs at the Hanover Mills Works. While testing at a shooting range, he reportedly saw a winged creature flapping away downrange. He fired a cannonball at it, but the creature rebuffed the attack and flew away. The most famous witness to the Leeds Devil is Joseph Bonaparte, former King of Spain and the brother of the infamous French ruler Napoleon Bonaparte. After unsuccessfully defending Spain from Britain in the Peninsular Wars, Joseph was forced to abdicate his throne in 1813 and was exiled in America. He settled in Bordentown, New Jersey, halfway between the ports of New York and Philadelphia, and right in the middle of the Devil's Stomping Grounds. While hunting one winter's day, Joseph saw some tracks that he could not identify. He followed them until they just disappeared, looking like the animal had flown away. It was then that he heard a screeching, hissing sound, and when he turned to face it, he found himself staring directly at the Leeds Devil. He must have been too awestruck or frightened to remember that he was carrying his hunting rifle, because the beast flew away after a few awkward moments of the two staring at each other. Joseph told the story to an acquaintance later on, and summarily was brought up to speed on the legend of the Leeds Devil. He continued to obsessively search for the beast until things calmed down enough for him to return to his family in Italy. Throughout the 19th century, the Pine Barrens were occupied by a group of people who were referred to as Pine Rats. These people essentially were squatters, homeless people who resided in or near the barrens. Usually, these folks had a healthy fear of the dark forests. But in 1835, a pine rat named Hannah Butler found herself full of liquid courage in the form of a strong apple cider known as Jersey Lightning. Hannah decided to go for a nighttime walk in the woods. Soon enough, She heard the piercing screams of the Jersey Devil, and before she knew it, she was face to face with the beast. She described it as having the head of a horse or goat covered in black fur with two leathery wings and standing on two legs, which ended in cloven hoofs instead of feet. A little later on, between 1840 and 1844, a group of farmers kept repeatedly having their livestock either slaughtered or stolen. Normally, they would have chalked the instance up to wolves or coyotes, but the night before each incident, the farmers heard an inexplicable screeching howl. Of course, they blamed the Leeds Devil, but came up empty when they formed a posse to hunt down and kill the perpetrator. At the turn of the 20th century, the Leeds Devil acquired its modern moniker of the Jersey Devil, and with that new name came a rash of new sightings. It seemed as if with its renaming, the devil was becoming more real, at least in the eyes of those who were seeing it. By far, the most active year on record for sightings of the Jersey Devil is 1909. On January 17th of that year, three separate sightings of the screaming, winged beast in Bristol, Pennsylvania, seemed to kick off a frightening few weeks in the region. Bristol police officer James Sackville saw the creature and reportedly got off a shot at it from his sidearm before it escaped. Postmaster E.W. Minister also spotted the beast, claiming that it glowed with a supernatural aura. Liquor store owner John McOwen also claimed to have seen the devil, describing its sound as a whistling screech not unlike a phonograph record scratch. A few days later, on January 21st, Trenton City Councilman E.P. Whedon was awakened by the sound of wings flapping in the air, banging on his roof, and pounding on his door. Upon inspection the next morning, hoofprints were found in the snow, both on the roof and in the yard of his home. This set off a rash of more than 100 sightings over the next week or so that left the public feeling threatened enough to close down shops and schools and patrol the streets armed in search of the beast. This led to more sightings, along with reports of pets and livestock being hunted. A trolley car was attacked by the devil in Haddon Heights. In Camden, a bunch of civilians and one policeman saw the creature drinking from a horse trough. Like in Bristol, the cop shot at it, but it escaped injury and capture. This all climaxed in a dramatic encounter in which the West Collingswood Fire Department cornered the creature and sprayed it with fire hoses, but all to no avail. The devil escaped again. Around this time, two enterprising businessmen at the 9th and Arch Street Museum in Philadelphia named Jacob Hope and Norman Jeffries actually borrowed a kangaroo from an animal shelter and, painting green stripes, sewing wings, and gluing antlers onto the poor animal, charged a small fee for customers to see the captured Jersey Devil. Then, in February of 1909, the rash of sightings stopped just as suddenly as it started, as if the whole thing was as fake as the 9th and Arch Street exhibit. From there, sightings were sporadic, but still relevant all throughout the Garden State. In 1927, a taxi driver in Salem met the Jersey Devil while changing a tire, the beast allegedly scratching at the doors and pounding on the roof of his cab while he hid inside. In November of 1951, a 10-year-old boy in Gibbstown fainted after seeing the creature outside of a clubhouse. In 1960, several Mays Landing residents were terrified by loud and abrasive screams every night and, with the police thinking it was all a hoax, a circus owner offered a $10,000 reward for the capture of the devil. The reward went unclaimed. A bit later, in 1972, a woman named Mary Ritzer Christensen reported seeing the Jersey Devil while driving on Green Tree Road between Blackwood and Glassboro. She said she saw a tall figure with a large woolly head and a thick goat haunches cross the road about 25 feet or so behind her car. In 1980, Wharton State Forest Chief Ranger Alan McFarland came across a pack of slaughtered pigs on a South New Jersey farm near the woods that he patrolled. Although there were no tracks around the massacre scene and no blood present, McFarland claimed that the pigs' bodies were scratched up and the backs of their heads had been bitten into. Of course, the Jersey Devil was blamed for this atrocity. One of the most frightening, albeit sensationalized, accounts of a sighting of the Jersey Devil occurred in the late 80s when a group of friends were riding dirt bikes in the Pine Barrens. On a trail about 100 yards from their camp, all of their motorcycles suddenly stalled. While trying to decide if the nearby power plant could have been responsible for the strange malfunction of their bikes, they heard an ear-piercing scream come from the woods. Even the members of the party who were left back at the camp heard the scream. When the group went to a local bar to calm their nerves, the bartender let them know that they had likely heard the Jersey Devil. Sometime in the early 90s, it appeared as if the Jersey Devil was wandering into more occupied areas of the region. A woman named Fran Coppola, who owned the Smithville Inn and Village in Galloway Township, was taking out the trash one night when she noticed a shadow on the wall in front of her. She turned and saw the Jersey Devil, who also had seen her. She stayed calm and claimed that she felt the devil was watching over her for some reason. Around the same time, another man reported a sighting, claiming the creature was heavy and hard to identify, but said that the most distinguishing aspect of the beast was its piercing red eyes. This normal-sounding sighting is only made significant by the identity of the man who reported it. His name is Harry Leeds, and he claimed to be a descendant of the actual Mother Leeds. So, a distant relative of the Jersey Devil, perhaps? In December of 1993, a park ranger named John Irwin claimed to have seen a 6-foot-tall creature covered in black fur and running on 2 legs dart in front of his car as he drove along the Mullica River in the Wharton State Forest. The encounter disturbed him so much that he filed a report with the ranger's office. The report claimed that the beast stopped, blocked the roadway, and stared back at Irwin with piercing red eyes for a few minutes before sprinting off into the woods with robotic movements. Irwin went on to describe the creature as standing upright and covered in shiny matted fur. It had a deer's head, but being a ranger himself, Irwin knew that this was no deer. A couple of years later, in 1995, a woman named Sue Dupree, who was driving near Pompton Lakes in New Jersey, saw an animal resembling a large armadillo hop across the street in front of her car. It's an interesting look for the Jersey Devil, but that's what she reported it as at the time. Also around that time, 3 cars that were traveling on Route 9 in Bayville were forced to slam on their brakes when the Jersey Devil, in a similar fashion to the last 2 sightings, ran across the road. The beast was described as being 10 feet tall with a long head and flat ears. The creature allegedly emerged from some woods near a mini mall, galloped into the road, stopping traffic, then disappeared into the woods on the other side. In 2015, an anonymous construction worker claimed to have seen the Jersey Devil while driving near Philadelphia, although they do admit that it looked a lot like a giant bird of some kind. Around this same time, a man named David Black in New Jersey reportedly saw the devil as well, and was even able to snap a photograph. At first, Black thought that he might have seen a llama, but upon review of the picture, he claimed that it was the spitting image of the Jersey Devil. Less than 10 miles from where Black got his photo, and at the same exact time, another witness named Emily Martin captured what she believes is the Jersey Devil on video near Old Port Republic Road near Leeds Port. Both Black and Martin swear to the authenticity of their respective proof, but skeptics who have seen both the photo and the video have their doubts. So, what are the possible scientific explanations for the Jersey Devil? The easiest and the most identifiable explanation is that it's all just a hoax. Most of the 1909 sightings have been dismissed as fabrications designed to lower real estate prices in the area. A man named Ivan T. Anderson even claimed to have found the fake feet used to create the hoofprint tracks around E.P. Whedon's home. So, at least in the case of the rash of 1909 sightings, the most probable explanation is that the whole thing was staged. Another explanation is that the Jersey Devil is some other, more common type of animal. Theories state that it could be either a rogue sandhill crane or a great blue heron, as both are tall and strange-looking birds. The sandhill crane doesn't typically stay in the Pine Barrens all year long, but the great blue heron does. Could it be a great blue heron? Another theory suggests that what people are actually seeing is a kangaroo, although this seems far-fetched, as the animal is not native to the area, or even to the continent, and no escapes from nearby zoos or private collections have ever been reported. The sounds that accompany these sightings, or in some cases are the only evidence of the beast's presence, can be attributed to other area wildlife, such as the red fox, the eastern screech owl, or the long-eared owl. Some even say that what witnesses are hearing is just the sound of ice breaking on one of the rivers that runs through the Barrens. And then, there are those who believe that the Jersey Devil is a surviving pterosaur, a flying dinosaur that is thought to have died out at the end of the Cretaceous period 65 million years ago. The most suspicious explanation is supernatural, that it really is either Messing or the 13th child of Mother Leeds, or a descendant of, since the actual child would be almost 300 years old by now. And finally, there's the explanation that says that, yes, it really is some undiscovered species of animal that has yet to be classified by science. A true cryptid. Whatever it is, the Jersey Devil has enjoyed a healthy lifespan in popular culture. Basically, any New Jersey woodland cryptid, or pretty much any mysterious creature seen in the Garden State, is usually referred to as the Jersey Devil. The devil has even been blamed for being the culprit in localized versions of many urban legends, such as the killer in the back seat, or the humans can lick two yarn, or, as the case may be, the Jersey Devil can lick two. Because of its reputation, the Jersey Devil has become an unofficial mascot of the state. In fact, in 1982, when a National Hockey League team was moved to the area, over 10,000 New Jerseyans voted to call the team the New Jersey Devils, a moniker which it still holds today. In addition to having a major sports team named after it, the Jersey Devil is also the subject of an episode of The X-Files from the first season of the show's run, and it was also the focus of a 1998 movie called The Last Broadcast, which is said to have influenced the itself influential The Blair Witch Project. Oh, and Six Flags Great America in Jackson Township, New Jersey, has named a roller coaster after the Jersey Devil. The Jersey Devil has remained a popular and enigmatic figure in the area, even today. A recent 2023 survey done by Farley Dickson University in Madison, New Jersey, found that 16% of New Jersey residents believe that the devil is real. And many of the sighting reports have come from reputable community members, such as politicians, police officers, and firefighters. So even today, amidst all of the hoaxes and other explanations, there are believers. So, what do you think? Is there some mythical or supernatural creature prowling the New Jersey Pine Barrens? Or are the only monsters out there the mobsters dumping the bodies of those who have crossed them? Either way, the possibility of the Jersey Devil's existence is both fascinating and horrifying. And that's about it for this episode of the Cryptozoo. If you enjoyed what you heard, please like, follow, subscribe, share, rate, review, and all that other stuff. You can find us on Facebook, so stop by and say hi. So, from your Cryptozookeeper Jay, until next time, good night, sleep tight, and don't stop believing.
We love cryptids, big and small.